E-A-T-H. What does that spell? Death, 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 death.
Trifecta time at 420. And we are here to consider the Texas Rangers.
Yes, the 2025 Texas Rangers.
Lord, dude.
We'll get to them in a bit here. Time for us to remember those who have recently passed away by taking a moment to consider how much they matter and whether they have the credentials to gain a room in the 3-bedroom apartment in the sky. I think room 505, maybe?
Starting a new one, room 508, because last week we closed out with Michael Madsen, Ryan Sandberg, and Chuck Mangione.
Okay, thank you very much. We welcome our 7th Supreme Court Justice, Donovan Lewis.
In his flowing robes.
Donovan. Hello, Hardline.
First off, let me say to you, I didn't get a chance to tell you this today during the birdhouse.
Brother.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you. And I wonder if this is ever going to come up on the trifecta. Ever.
Would you like to tell everyone who I'm talking about?
D from What's Happening.
Exactly.
No way.
Roger's little sister passed away. Yeah.
We lost. I'll throw away my lead story in E News.
Oh, no.
We lost D, and I immediately thought of Donovan. And
I wonder why.
Well, because we talked about that show a bunch. So shut up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, brother.
Okay, comments. That's why. I just said I wonder why. Now I know.
Jerk.
How's Raj taking this?
I think Raj is also passed
on. No, he's with us.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, no.
Rescind the hand,
Raj
DJ.
Is with us.
Okay. All right.
What about D?
What about Rerun?
Rerun is no longer with us.
There's no way Fred Berry's still.
No. No, he's
okay.
Gone.
Okay. What is that supposed to mean?
You know what it means.
Well, today, that's for another day. We'll see if D gets in.
But our thoughts are with Shirley Hemphill.
Today,
God needed a backup dancer in the sky.
He did. Today, we tried to induct one of the all-time hot babes of the last 40 years, the great Lonnie Anderson, who, Donovan, we found out that neither Lando, Ham, nor DJ had ever heard of before.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was tough. And you would think just on like a random hot older lady scale that they would have heard of her because she left, you know, a pretty sizable impact on an imprint on our youth. And our dads were like, whoa. You know, doing all that stuff.
Making those gestures with their hands.
Talking about how lucky Burt Reynolds was and all that.
I would love to know if my dad thought she was hot.
Worth a phone call. For sure.
Okay.
She was born August 5th, 1945 in St. Paul, Minnesota. Her father was an environmental chemist. Her mother, a model. Which shows you, nerds sometimes get lucky as well.
Rich nerds.
An environmental chemist? You think he was making dough for back then? Well, whatever the case, she became an actress at a young age. She got a small part in a Steve McQueen film back in the 60s called Nevada Smith. Then she waltzed over to television, in which she was on the small screen with early guest parts in on SWAT, Policewoman. She was a guest on about 10 different shows in the 70s before she caught her big, big break as they were planning on creating a television show set in Cincinnati, Ohio, based around the struggling small radio station known as WKRP, where it was trying to reinvent itself with rock music. The first episode was them flipping the format completely. And moving from, I think, some form of news talk over to rock and roll. And it starred Howard Hessman, Tim Reed, Gary Sandy, Frank Bonner, Jan Smithers, and Lonnie Anderson starred as the secretary, the wisecracking secretary, Jennifer Marlowe. And as she said, at first they just wanted her to be the good-looking receptionist, with not a lot behind it, not a lot of substance behind it. And she talked the producers and the writers into her role, which became not just the secretary, the good-looking secretary, but the secretary that was the smartest person in the room by a mile in every scene. And it was really, I think, you know, as kids, our parents were certainly listening to whatever rock and roll or I don't know, country or R&B station that was out there. But it was really the first look inside to a radio station that we ever had. I had no idea about anything that went on, and not that this was a true representation of what radio was like, but...
I mean, they only had, what, like 6 employees?
That was it, yeah. But for us, it seemed real. Like, it seemed, and I don't know about you guys, Donovan, did you think it was like, whoa, that's... That looks like a really fun thing to do.
Man, I would love to remember what I thought about that show. I think I halfway thought it kind of sucked. But I don't remember just being all interested in radio at that time. I would love to go back and watch it to see if I think it holds up.
Did you think Venus Flytrap was cool?
Dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's a good-looking dude, and he was cool, yeah.
He was so cool. And so was Johnny Fever. Both those guys were the coolest guys in the room, and they were the two on-air DJs, and you're like, oh, man, that's badass. And they cast, you know, the Les Nessman news character and what's his name? Herb.
Let's see.
Herb.
Tarlick?
Tarloff. Tarlock. Herb Tarlock. Tarlack. Something like that. Yeah, but he was like the kind of... overly aggressive sales guy.
As they all are.
He was totally like macking down on Lonnie Anderson's character at all times.
Yeah. Herb Tarlack,
yeah. The Andy, who was the new program director they introduced in the first episode, came in from Santa Fe and was trying to shake things up. And they all just seemed really cool to me for whatever reason. And that show definitely left an impact. She was nominated for 3 Emmys, two Emmy nominations and 3 Golden Globes, during that show's 5-year run. And then she met Burt Reynolds. In 1983, and Burt Reynolds in 1983 was a top, 5 actor probably at the time? Most, as far as popularity goes, I don't know about like chops, but Burt Reynolds was at the very top of the pecking order of actors of the day.
Very, very popular.
And they became a fixture together. And
a power couple.
They were a massive power couple. They married... And in the late 80s, and that did not last very long, as they had a very, very public, messy breakup in 1994.
Yeah, they were tabloid fodder, for sure.
Very much, much, much so. She was always, too, like, every photo you saw of her was cleavage-related. Like, every single one. Probably... Not sure she was trying to hide it or anything, but I remember as a kid just like, golly. Like between her and Dolly Parton, they were the most boob-centric women that there were of that era in from popularity.
It seems to cut through generational differences.
Truly does. It truly does. So here is a clip.
Like what era was that not popular?
I mean, wonder. I don't know. Like the 1400s, do they care about it?
I'm guessing they did.
They had corsets to jack them up.
That's true. So here is a little clip of her as there is a huge radio meeting. She walks into the meeting. So just imagine any conference room that you have in your office and you walk in. There's about 10 people in there and she's the receptionist and this is her boss and their interplay.
You want me, Mr. Carlson?
Oh, yeah. Come in, Jennifer. Have a seat.
No, thank you.
Well, all right. This particular point in time, I would like to dictate a press release.
I don't take dictation.
What? Oh, all right. I guess I can do this thing myself. It's probably going to be a long meeting, though, so why don't you get coffee for all the guys here?
I don't get coffee, Mr. Carlson. We agreed. You have to draw the line somewhere. Will there be anything else I can do?
No, I ain't got about a dozen.
Thank you.
Oh, no. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Colley, a lot of turkeys don't make it through
all
Thanksgiving.
Right, so. Anyway.
Boy, that laugh track is jarring.
Oh, my God.
I know. It just was part of life back then. Every single show had the laugh track. You know, it's funny because as popular as she was and as well thought of as she was as an actor, getting all those nominations, and she really didn't do a ton after that. She wasn't that active. They had a kid. Her and Burt Reynolds had a kid named Quentin that I know she raised in the early part of the 90s. But she kind of just fell off the map, and that was kind of it. But she definitely left her mark of women of the 80s that, I mean, she had the poster that a lot of my friends had, the bikini poster, like, you know, her and Farrah and Heather Thomas, and she was just a sex symbol and a massive one at the time. One of the biggest ones of the 80s for sure.
With 80s hair.
With some really terrible 80s hair. All right, Lando, you've never heard of her before until this week. Does she get in?
Well, the olds on this show have the House majority, so I feel confident by saying no.
DJ?
Yes.
And? No.
I mean, we do need more laugh track on the hard line so people know when to laugh.
I know. Dave?
I'm going to say yes, because I love that show.
Yeah, dude, she was a really, really big part of pop culture for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's no denying it.
Hey, Pop.
Hey, pop culture? Donnie?
I'll be careful when I say this. She was an it girl, so I'll say yes.
Yeah, I'm putting her in. Bob?
My vote doesn't matter, does it?
It doesn't, but we'd still like to hear what you have to say.
She's the definitive Lonnie in humanity history, is she not?
Close.
She's in.
Lonnie Smith may have something to say about it.
Yeah.
Ooh, Lonnie Chisholm. Okay. She's in.
All right. There you go. She starts her own room. The great Lonnie Anderson. Donovan, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. People are lining up to get in the room with her.
You're damn right. You are damn to the damn right. All right.
Maybe we can get Dee Dee in with her.
Did we? It's Dee.
It's Dee, not Dee Dee.
I'm sorry, Donovan. I'm so sorry.
Goodness.